Stand by for news.
Thank God it's Friday!
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Boy, are we ever stocked up here. The last 24 hours has been a trip to crazy town. Did I tell you or not? Wow, what a day yesterday was. After the release of the Mueller report, after Attorney General William Barr stood before the press and made his statement, it was like watching election night all over again on the news networks. I don't know if you saw that panel on CNN. There were like eight or nine people on CNN, and they all were crestfallen. They were all deeply disappointed. They were all angry because the President of the United States could not be found guilty of collusion with Russia or obstruction of justice, for that matter. Isn't that twisted and strange and somehow unsettling that members of our news media and the Democrat Party could not be relieved that an investigation found no cause for concern? It's very, very interesting. And that's what we're going to look at today, among other things, is how interesting all of this craziness actually was. Well, and there's a line in the Mueller report that you've been hearing a lot over the last 24 hours that the leftist press is trying to use as a signal that Trump is guilty. But as usual, they're pulling something out of context in order for it to mean something it doesn't. We'll take a look at that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Plus, the loonies over at MSNBC are at it again. This time, Brian Williams actually challenged Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, and got handed his head as a result. It was a beautiful thing. We'll look at that. We'll find out why it's impossible to trust the New York Times. And hopefully, we'll have time to get around to Jim Jordan torching the Democrat leaders after he discovered something they did in secret. And it's underhanded and nasty, and everyone needs to know about it. Everyone. Because this is who we're dealing with. And there's a video that popped up. It's been remixed, and it's a beautiful thing. And I want to play it for you coming up this morning on today's edition of The Daily Perspective. Good morning, Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host, having fun behind the wheel here at the at the Daily Perspective studio, and just hoping that you're having a good day as well. It was bumpy last night around our place. We had thunderstorms and a tornado watch, and it was potentially nasty. It just got really, really wet, and a lot of leaves got blown out of trees last night, fortunately for us. Some didn't have it so well. I've seen the pictures, trees down on houses and cars and damage, but that happens. By the way, if you live in the South, please, please get over your love affair with pine trees and have them all cut down in your yard. It's just a matter of time before the wind blows one over on your property. Just get over it, please. Because we finally lost the last one in our yard a couple of years ago. We had one fall and take out a storage building on the side of our house and one end of our deck on the back of our house. It fell kind of catty-cornered across one corner. It did a lot of damage. Fortunately, the insurance was there to take care of it. But wow, it was the last one, though. Oh, actually, there was one more that I was watching and about ready to call a tree company to have it removed, but it finally took a dive and fell off into the woods instead of towards our house. So I was very relieved about that. But that's the thing. They're brittle. They have shallow root systems. And when you have this kind of weather coming through, they're the trees that fall on stuff. So please, I know it costs a little money to have a tree company come out and do work like that, but it's a lot less expensive than having to replace half your house or your entire roof. So get it done. Okay, that's my advice for the day. Wow, the last 24 hours, what a crazy time it's been. We have seen so much happen, and there's no way I'm going to get to all of it today. I just can't. So this is a good day to get your hands on the newsletter. Go ahead and subscribe. Go to markcongleton.com. Click on that. Go to the right column. Put in your name, your email address. Answer yes to the corresponding email you'll receive, and you'll get all the notes for the show. I've got about two typewritten pages full of just links to articles, and I'm going to send them all to you today. All of them, if you sign up for the newsletter. More on that a little bit later on. Before we get started, this popped up on Twitter a little bit less than an hour ago from the folks over at Twitchy. Now, you may be familiar with Twitchy if you've gone to markandmacshow.com. You've seen that we have links to the latest Twitchy posts in the right column. Twitchy is basically they aggregate Twitter, and they're social media and politics savvy folks over at Twitchy, and they posted this. That Representative Nadler, Jerry Nadler, this guy you've seen, the guy with the glasses, the loose-fitting suit, the big collar, who back in the Clinton years weighed about twice as much as he does now, Representative Jerry Nadler has said that Robert Mueller couldn't prove a criminal conspiracy because, quote, lots of people destroyed evidence, end quote. He doesn't provide any citation. He doesn't provide any proof. He just stands and makes a bald-faced claim, which is a lie, expecting people to believe what he says. It's a lie, but he expects people to believe what he says because he knows they will, simply because they prefer to get their information direct from the lying mouths of the Democrat leadership and from their pets in the progressive news media. Jerry Nadler has no evidence to back up what he says. We do, however, have stacks of evidence that this has happened sometime in the past. Yesterday, I posted to our social media accounts, this is what obstruction of justice looks like. Destroying cell phones with hammers, not responding or refusing to provide subpoenaed information, and bleach bidding hard drives to destroy all of the information on them so the Justice Department can't see what you've been up to. That's what Hillary Clinton and her team did. So we do have clear obstruction of justice when it comes to Hillary Clinton. But we don't have any proof from the Trump campaign, from the Trump administration, because they were completely transparent. They withheld nothing. The Trump team could have relied on the president himself to invoke executive privilege and say, I don't have to respond. But they turned over millions of pages of documentation, of information. They responded cooperatively with the investigation at every turn. Unlike the Clintons. The Clintons did not do what they were supposed to do. And we know they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And the contrast is so stark. The reality is so stark. And yet what we have is a news media and the Democrat Party focused on destroying this president because he defeated the person who actually did commit obstruction of justice. That's something to take into your weekend and to think about. Also, back to executive privilege. Although the Trump administration, President Trump, did not invoke executive privilege, Obama did, time after time after time after time after time. The Obama administration was anything but transparent. They've been making a lot about the negative things that they're seeing in the report. They're focusing on, for example, there is a crucial line. There is a crucial line in the Mueller report that's being taken out of context and in a crazy way. And Matt Walsh over, I apparently assigned him to The Blaze the other day. He used to be with The Blaze. He's with Daily Wire now. He's got an article that's in the show notes today. And I want to share this article with you. It's not very long. We'll get through it. The Mueller report's finally here. Nobody who is currently pontificating about its contents has actually read the entire thing, myself included. The full document is well over 400 pages long and would, in a perfect world, or at least in a sane one, prompt several days of careful study before the analysis and reactions start flooding in. But we do not live in such a world. Opinions are formed in an instant. Narratives are crafted in minutes. And when those narratives are plainly false, it is necessary to combat them before they metastasize. Overall, in a very broad strokes, it appears that the report essentially vindicates Trump against the collusion claim, as Attorney General William Barr noted in his press conference to begin the day. Mueller says up front that, quote, the investigation did not establish, end quote, that Trump or anyone else with the campaign, quote, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government, end quote. Many details are provided about Russia's efforts to interfere in our election, but no direct evidence links Trump to those efforts. Considering the fact that the left has been shouting collusion for the past 2 years, this ought to be the headline. But, in the blink of an eye, the goalposts have been shifted. We are meant to forget about these past many months of collusion hysteria and instead pretend that the real issue is obstruction. Let me sidebar here. He's absolutely right. The goalposts have moved. I don't know if you have noticed this, but in the past 24 hours, suddenly collusion has vanished like like smoke on the wind. It's gone. Now it's all about obstruction. But the Mueller investigation could not prove obstruction. They could not satisfy the necessary measure for any kind of indictment on obstruction. And that was their job. That's something you have to remember. The Mueller investigation's task was to prove Russian collusion and any obstruction. And they could not conclusively prove obstruction. They couldn't do the task. It's not their job to prove innocence. It was their job to prove guilt to the level that they could do something about it. And they couldn't. In Volume 2 of the report, Mueller goes into detail about potential obstruction of justice by the president, though he does not conclude that obstruction actually occurred. There is no underlying crime here, so there could be no reason for willful obstruction by the president. Rather, Trump seems to have acted out of anger and frustration on numerous occasions, saying things and taking actions, or almost taking actions, that could have potentially been considered obstruction if his intent had been to obstruct. But his anger and frustration seemed to be warranted. He believed he was being targeted for political purposes and that he was accused of crimes he didn't commit. And it appears that Trump was right on both counts. His loudmouth recklessness, a trait that his most committed fans, for some reason, still find endearing, could have easily gotten him into serious trouble, but for the cooler heads around him prevailing time and time again. He's right about that, by the way. This is evidently the point of Trump's obstruction, which the goalpost-shifting media will now spend the next 2 years carrying on about. Trump was mad about the damage that the investigation was doing to his reputation and his presidency, and he was mad, rightfully so, that there was no basis for the investigation to begin with. One particular anecdote, filed under evidence in the report, clearly illustrated Trump's non-criminal intentions. But this very anecdote is being taken wildly out of context to paint a drastically different picture. The media is making much of the fact that Trump, when he heard about the special counsel investigation, responded by exclaiming, quote, this is the end of my presidency. I'm effed. That one phrase, I'm effed, has appeared in dozens of headlines already. We're supposed to interpret it as some sort of admission of guilt by Trump. But if you keep reading just a few more sentences, you see it's nothing of the sort. After berating Jeff Sessions for letting him down, Trump says, quote, "Everyone tells me that if you get one of these special counsels, it ruins your presidency. It takes years and years, and I won't be able to do anything. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me." It's obvious from the full context that Trump is worried about the political impact of the investigation that it'll have on him and his ability to govern. He's really reacting exactly as anyone else might react to an IRS audit. You might say, "I'm effed and out about an audit," not because you're guilty of tax evasion, but because the whole process will be extremely unpleasant and painful and inconvenient. The fact that Trump is expressly worried about that practical and political damage of investigation might do, and not about, and we'll continue more efforts. All right. That was highly professional, wasn't it? I just kept driving the bus until I hit the wall. But let's get back into that, okay? We were talking about that phrase that you've been seeing popping up in the news over and over and over and over again, where Trump said, "I'm effed." And they're trying to make that an admission of guilt, when actually it isn't. It's an admission of frustration over something that's going to just tie everything up and prevent him from actually being the president that he planned on being. Now, the fact that Trump is expressly worried about that practical and political damage the investigation might do, and not about what might be found out, really only serves to underscore his innocence. But that, of course, is not how the media will play it. Indeed, this is why the left so desperately wanted to see the full report. They knew there would be plenty of tidbits and pieces they could use to cobble together their own narrative, their own series of events, even if the full context doesn't support their version. And that's how the next 2 years will play out. We will not hear again about collusion. That ship has sailed. The slogan until 2020 will be obstruction, even if the charge is not justified. And Matt Walsh here is actually reaffirming what I've been saying, that this, the reason they want this report and the unredacted report, by the way, Jerry Nadler is making a big issue about getting his hands on the unredacted report. What he's not telling you is that he has a path to be able to see the complete unredacted report. He can. There is a way for him to do it, and he knows there's a way to do it. He's grandstanding. He's posturing. He's playing his scene in this production of political theater by pretending that he doesn't have action, doesn't have access to the unredacted report. He does. He has the ability to see it. Just do a little research. You'll find out what I'm talking about. He can see the entire report. But this political theater requires that they pretend they can't, because it's extremely important they see what's covered up by all those black marks. They've got to see all that stuff, because underneath those black marks is damning information that they can use to impeach the president of the United States. Even though right now they're pushing really hard, the Democrat leadership is pushing really hard against the impeachment word. They don't want anybody saying it, even though the new people elected, auditioned and trained and selected by Justice Democrats, Ilhan Omar and AOC and the others, those people, they are signing on it. They're talking impeachment. But the Democrat leadership is saying, "Shh, no. We don't want to talk about impeachment just yet." And they don't want to, because they want to be able to get their hands on the stuff under the black marks to see if there's anything more that they can piece together to make it appear that there is impeachable action going on in the White House. That's what they desperately, desperately want. And because the report clears the president of collusion with Russia, remember, For 2 years, it's been Russia, 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 Russia. It's all about Russian collusion. It's all about Russia, Russia, Russia. It's been that for 2 years. We have listened to the Democrats talk about Russian collusion. People who were standing in front of news cameras knowing they're going to be able to walk away when they get through talking and not substantiate anything they've said. They have said, we have seen the evidence. We have seen the clear evidence of Russian collusion. We know it's there. And we know it'll come out in the Mueller report. They've said these things, and then the Mueller report's released and shown them to be liars. They're still not producing this evidence they've claimed to have seen. It's not happening. Why? Because they were lying. And they're still lying. It's just nuts. But welcome to the world of political theater. Moving forward, yesterday, MSNBC's Brian Williams attempted to poke holes in Attorney General William Barr's summary of the newly released redacted report by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. After inviting on Donald Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, Williams suggested that Barr misled the public by concluding that Mueller's report found no collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government in election interference. You see, some are still clinging to the collusion thing. They're clinging. But they're going to have to give it up. By and large, they have, but some, especially yesterday, were still trying. Jay Sekulow responded, and he did so by reading directly from the report, clearly stating that it did not establish collusion. Williams began in a moment highlighted by the Washington Examiner by saying, Counselor, thank you very much for joining us. My first question, I'm afraid, is going to verge on plain English. Where did the Attorney General get off with that characterization this morning, including four mentions that there was no collusion? What document was he reading compared to the one we're left with? Sekulow responded by simply reading directly from the second page of Mueller's now publicly available report. Quote, well, page two of the document says, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. He added, so it's right from the document itself. Williams asked, have you read part one? Sekulow responded, I've read part one and part two. Williams suggestively asked, you find good news in here for the president and the administration? And Sekulow answered by reading another direct quote from the report. Page 181. The investigation did not establish that the contacts described in Volume 1, Section 4, Supra, that's the Russian contacts, he explained, amounted to an agreement to commit any substantive violation of federal criminal law, including foreign influence and campaign finance laws. And then he answered Williams' loaded question directly. Yeah, I think it's a very good win. Jay Sekulow also appeared on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos to provide his bottom line on the Mueller report. Remember, Stephanopoulos was is a former Bill Clinton aide, apologist, talking head. And if he and his team had read all 400-plus pages of the report, Sekulow explained that they had early access to it. Let's see. He asked if they had read all 400-plus pages. In other words, there's no way you could have read all 400-plus pages of this report and come to any conclusions. But Sekulow explained, yeah, they had early access to it, so they could fully review the document. The big picture, Sekulow says, is that the very reason the investigation was launched, the allegation of collusion with Russia, is repeatedly and emphatically dismissed in the report. So you don't have an overarching crime. That was the beginning of this investigation, which was this collusion inquiry. There's nothing there, they said. No evidence of collusion at all. And then they moved to where there were acts that were obstructive. Sekulow then cites Barr's summary of the obstruction findings, at which point Stephanopoulos stops him and says that Barr's conclusions are different from Mueller's. Stephanopoulos then read directly from the Mueller report. Quote, if we could determine the president did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Sekulow responded by asking Stephanopoulos to read Mueller's next sentence. Quote, "Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it does not exonerate him." Sekulow said, "Right. A prosecutor's job is not exoneration. They either determine that there is a criminal act or there is not." And guess what? They determined there was not. They couldn't prove obstruction. So, the leftist media, the leftist press, is working overtime trying to prove something that doesn't exist. Remember, they have invested 22 months, almost two solid years of time, preaching to us that the current presidential administration colluded with the Russian government to steal the election from Hillary Rodham Clinton. We have seen with our own eyes,
who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
We have seen with our own eyes the proof that the Clinton Family Foundation was a slush fund, that Hillary Clinton was taking money from foreign governments. We have seen that they plotted against the Trump campaign. We have seen that a document was manufactured, created out of thin air, a stack of lies, and used to get a FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. Now, when you use that word spy, the Democrats get all upset. But when you put someone under surveillance, what are you doing? You're spying on them. You're keeping an eye on their activity. So yes, this entire process was all based on a lie. The Trump campaign was spied on. We've listened to 2 years of bloviating from the Democrats and the press about Russian collusion and how they know this man is guilty and they've seen the evidence. And it all fell crashing to the ground yesterday. And the sound was sweet. Ah. You know, I just decided this weekend I need to pull out the original Guardians of the Galaxy movie and watch it. What a great soundtrack that movie had. This is the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Thanks for being there, by the way. Thanks a lot. Whether you're part of the crowd on Facebook Live, I see you guys. I'm waving. And also on the podcast, you time shifters, time travelers with your fancy time machines, listening at other times. Good to have you along. Thanks for being there. And thanks for sharing this with your friends. By the way, you might be wondering why I include the link to the recorded podcast version in our newsletter, and that's because you can take that link and share it with your friends and invite other people to the party every day. You can do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so do that. Why don't you? All righty. So this story, I actually laughed out loud when I saw it happening yesterday because it's just an illustration of how disconnected the leftist press is with the real world. And it's an illustration of why. It's a shining example of why the New York Times in particular cannot be trusted as a credible source of information. The raging ignorance on the part of the reporters is something to behold. And here's why. New York Times White House correspondent Maggie Haberman yesterday got a lot of flack. She was ridiculed online after she appeared to suggest that the White House had signaled to white supremacy by playing a specific song in the lead up to the press conference yesterday morning with Attorney General William Barr. She heard the song and she thought, well, that's what? What was the song? You might recognize it. Pretty famous song, by the way, from a very famous movie.
Edelweiss.
Yeah, that song from The Sound of Music. It was just in the background music loop, and that was what was playing right before the press conference. Well, she replied to a tweet from New York Post reporter Nikki Schwab in which the latter revealed that the White House played Edelweiss as reporters walked in for Attorney General William Barr's press conference ahead of the release of the Mueller report. She said, does anyone at the White House understand the significance of that song? After Daily Wire editor-in-chief mocked Haberman for insinuating that there was a nefarious intent behind the White House's choice of music, she appeared to confirm that she believed the song was somehow related to Nazi imagery. Now, Shapiro said, I'm sure Trump, Ben Shapiro, he said, I'm sure Trump handpicked it so everyone would quickly make the Nazi connection. Nefarious! Her response, so you're going with no, then? Television producer Andrew Kimmel gave a glimpse into where Haberman may have gotten the assumption. He said, for those of you who aren't fans of The Man in the High Castle, the show is about an alternate United States if the Nazis had won World War II. Edelweiss is the song in the opening credits, and it's creepy. And it is. I don't have that version of it, but if go look it up. Go look. If you have iTunes or a music service like that, just type in Edelweiss. It's E or Edelweiss. It's Edelweiss. Edelweiss. And look for the Man in the High Castle version. When you find it, it's very dark. It's very dark and it's very, very creepy. But as several commenters pointed out to Haberman in replies to her original tweet, the song is more anti-Nazi. It's an anti-Nazi anthem more than anything else. One commenter explained, it's from The Sound of Music, in which Captain Von Trapp defied the Nazi occupation of Austria and fled with his family. It's about loyalty to one's homeland. Another commenter noted that the musical was representational of the defiance of Austrian patriotism in the face of Nazi annexation during World War II, and that it would be wrong to assume it was supposed to be a Nazi anthem. A guy named Pat Leonard writes, wait, what am I missing? Edelweiss is not a pro-Nazi song. It's anti-Nazi. It's Baron von Trapp's middle finger to the Nazis at the music festival in The Sound of Music. Rodgers and Hammerstein made that song up for that very purpose. Washington Examiner executive editor Seth Mandel ripped into Haberman as representative of out-of-touch mainstream press. He said, they think Edelweiss is a Nazi anthem because it's on a TV show that has Nazis, and they're also speed-reading a super-important report into presidential misconduct, and you can absolutely trust their judgment and their depth and breadth of knowledge. Liberals and President Donald Trump critics have accused the president of nodding to white nationalists and racist elements since before he was elected in 2016. The president's supporters, however, argue that the charges of prejudice stem from warped motives and that his detractors are driven by an obsession with identity politics. So true. A deep-seated partisan desire to see him removed from office or both. Yeah, it's both. So, this person, this reporter, the White House correspondent for the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, is so blessed ignorant that she has assigned some nefarious value to a song from a musical about resisting the Nazis as nefarious and deeply meaningful that this is a Nazi administration. This is how deeply deluded and weird these people actually are. Yikes, yikes, yikes. So keep that in mind. When you're watching the news and you're seeing the press reports in your social media and the like, remember that many, many, many of these people are delusional, ignorant, and they're searching for anything to verify their bias. Just like this young woman did. She listened to a song, a sweet song, about loving your country and made it into something evil because she desperately wanted it to be evil. She was convinced it was. And that's who we're dealing with. And that is, as I said, is one shining example of why the New York Times specifically cannot be trusted as a credible source of information. Their reporters are on display with their raging ignorance of the world around them. In particular, this young lady, she sees the world through her entertainment lens. This is why you see the this is why you see the ladies in the red capes with the white hoods. You see all manner of costumes at these protests. They see everything through the lens of fantasy. That's very, very sad. Now, I mentioned this in the top of the show, and I have to play it for you. In July of 2017, Placeboing, that's a YouTube channel that specializes in making political video remixes, posted a nifty little video. It's a mashup that pokes fun at the mainstream media's Trump collusion obsession. It's titled Trump, Russia, Possible Collusion. It's funny because the video was made only a couple of months into the Mueller investigation, and the mainstream media, the people we're supposed to trust to give us the straight scoop, was already 100% sure there was collusion between President Trump and Russia. You want to know what else is funny about the video? Not funny, funny, but strange funny. Try typing the words Trump, Russia, possible collusion, and the word remix in parentheses in the YouTube search box and see what happens. This video, no copy of this video, will appear on the first page of searches. That's because YouTube is apparently censoring the video. You can still get to the video through a direct link, and it will be in the show notes today. And this is the audio from that video.
Trump, Putin, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russian sort of collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian metal collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russian potentially collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian bot collusion.
Trump, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Russia hacked our election.
Here comes a big change. Because all of a sudden, Trump, Russian, possible collusion,
Russian collusion.
Trump, Russian, possible collusion.
Trump, Russian, possible collusion.
Trump, Russians, collusion.
Collusion with the Russians.
Trump, Russia, possible collusion.
Trump, Russia, possible collusion.
Prove collusion. Prove collusion.
Was there collusion?
Absolutely.
Russia possible collusion.
Trump 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 Russia potential collusion.
Trump Russia potential collusion.
Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion
and Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin
very worried
in collusion. This president in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion. This president in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin
are very worried
in collusion.
All 17 intelligence agencies.
17 agencies.
17 of our intelligence agencies.
17 of our intelligence agencies.
17 intelligence agencies.
17 different United States intelligence agencies.
All 17 of them.
Have to see this video.
People are very worried.
You have to see this video. It's just priceless. It's absolutely priceless. It'll be in the show notes today. This article link is there and the link to the video is there and you can watch it for yourself, but you have to. You just have to. It's just so great. We've spent almost 2 years listening to these people tell us about Trump and Russia and collusion. And we've listened to politicians from the Democrat Party tell us they have proof. They've seen the evidence. They've seen the evidence. And yet, when the Mueller report says they couldn't prove collusion, they shifted the goalposts and changed their objective and no longer are talking about collusion. Who do we think is lying here? Well, I think it's fairly obvious, don't you? You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along. Mark Congleton here, driving the crazy bus and hoping you're having a great day and looking forward to a great Easter weekend. And don't forget what this weekend is all about. Not about the food, not about the Easter egg hunts. It is actually the biggest celebration for people of faith through the entire year. We've made a huge thing out of Christmas, but this weekend, it's much, much bigger. It's much, much bigger. Hey, let me go back to that previous story for a minute. When you search for this video, if you try to search for this video, even using the exact words, you won't find it in the first page of search results. And even the guy who created it says, yeah, that's true. He's been hearing from a lot of people. He's heard from a lot of commenters saying, this is hard to find. And it's true, because apparently... apparently YouTube has decided it's fake news. Well, it's a satire. But the thing is, it's using the real words of these people. And it's just amazing. Just amazing. The lengths that the left will go to guard what they've invested so deeply in. And I've said this many, many times, is they've made a very big investment for 22 months or longer. They've made this investment in something that is completely untrue. And so they're going to defend their investment. That's just the way they're going to do. So keep that in mind. These people have invested in a lie, and they're going to defend that investment in that lie, because that's how they operate. It never changes. It never changes. Remember that. Now, Jim Jordan, you've seen this guy. He's been on the news a lot. He's one of the few in our national government who doesn't bother to put on a jacket when he's interviewed by the press. He just appears in his shirt sleeves and tells things like they are. Well, the Mueller report conclusion that there was no collusion and no obstruction has forced Democrats to go into full meltdown. We've watched it over the last 24 hours. They've gone nuts. They've gone crazy. That was their insurance policy. They figured it was going to take Trump down. But that doesn't mean that Democrats have given up on the dream or wouldn't try to spin what they can out of the report. What I've told you time and time again, the reason they want the full report and the reason they want his taxes is so they can find any little tiny thing they can to blow monumentally out of proportion for their own purposes. That's why they want it. Well, they're still doing whatever they can to try to target Trump. As Jim Jordan reveals, they're trying to do it without informing GOP members. Republican Ohio Representative Jim Jordan wrote a letter Monday accusing Democratic House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings of executing a secret memorandum of understanding. You see that in articles a lot, an MOU. A secret memorandum of understanding with other House Democratic chairmen meant to target President Donald Trump. The ranking member of the Oversight Committee, Jordan, indicated that Cummings had coordinated the MOU with House Financial Services Chairwoman Mad Maxine Waters and House Intelligence Committee, wow, that's a misnomer, Chairman Adam Schiff. Wow, that guy is so slimy. While keeping Republican members in the dark on investigations into Trump and his campaign. Quote, you did not consult with the Republican members of the committee or allow members to consider and debate the terms of your MOU before executing the MOU with Chairwoman Waters, he wrote. Jordan went after the fact that Cummings was trying to subpoena Mazars USA, the accounting firm that Trump used before he became president. You see, they're digging into his accounting, into his finances. They're trying to find anything they can. These people are dirty, dirty, dirty. He goes on to say, this subpoena is a grave abuse of the committee's authority and a violation of the chairman's pledge to the committee. Although the rules of the House of Representatives grant Chairman Cummings broad oversight authority, we rely on the chairman to use it responsibly. He said that the chair didn't take any ability to consider, discuss, or debate the question of doing a subpoena with the committee when the issue is over sensitive personal information of the president. But just drop the news after everybody left for the Easter break. Jordan said this action violates the chairman's promise to the committee at our organization meeting. So this kind of stuff has been discussed. They knew the potential for this kind of behavior, and so it was brought up when they had their organization meeting for the council, for this committee. They brought it up. They knew that these people would possibly behave this way, so they brought it up. Jordan called the Democrat obsession to get the president and his family gravely dangerous and counterproductive to the work of our committee. He also noted that the American people can now see what Democrats are about. And I'm glad he said that, because that goes to further reinforce something I've said, and that is that we're seeing a lot of things happen, a lot of things being allowed to happen by our president, which I firmly believe are just there for the purpose of letting the Democrats be who they are so everybody can see clearly who and what they really are. They will operate in secret. They will lash out. They will do harm because it's politically expedient. You remember that old parable about the scorpion and the frog? You remember it? Well, let me remind you. A scorpion and a frog meet on the bank of a stream, and the scorpion asks the frog to carry him across on its back. The frog asks, "How do I know you won't sting me?" The scorpion responds, "Because if I do, I'll die too." The frog is satisfied, and they set out, but in midstream, the scorpion stings the frog. The frog feels the onset of paralysis and starts to sink, knowing they both will drown, but has just enough time to ask, "Why?" And the scorpion replies, "I can't help it. It's my nature." It is the nature of the Democrat Party to be deceptive, to be secretive, and to sting, even though they promise they won't. "Oh, we would never do that." And then they do. "Oh, that will never happen." And then it does. "Oh, how could you possibly think something like that?" And then it comes to pass. This is the nature of the leftist movement. They lie because it suits their purposes. And then when they know it's time to do what they promised they wouldn't do, they do it. This is why we cannot ever, ever allow the Democrats to have power, political power, over this nation again. Because if we do, what happens is we get another administration filled with this kind of garbage, this kind of BS. And that's what we've been seeing for a couple of years. It's just BS. It's just garbage. And there's nothing we can actually do about it except to keep these people from having power ever again. So remember, as you go to the ballot box next year in 2020, remember what the Democrats have done. Remember that they have spent almost 2 years lying to the American people. Remember that they have spent almost 2 years pumping information to their pets in the progressive press and using them to lie to the American people. Remember that for the past 2 years, we have listened to the Democrats and the leftist press go on and on and on and on and on about Trump, Russia, and possible collusion. And yesterday, we learned it was all a lie. And so now that the lie has been exposed for what it is, they have changed their tune. They have moved the goalposts. and they will pursue something else. They will use the Mueller report as the foundation for possibly impeachment. So don't be surprised if that happens. I'm not saying it will, because right now, the Democrat leadership is saying, no, we're not even thinking about impeachment at this time. There's just no way we can't do it. But remember the parable of the scorpion and the frog. Don't be the frog, because the Democrats are the scorpion. They're telling you they won't do something right now. But about the time you're midstream, you've decided, they wouldn't possibly do that. Pow! They're going to sting you. It happens every time. Have a great Easter weekend. God bless you. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.